This is the Jack Del Rio Show.
Jack Del Rio Show.
On the Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network. The Jack Del Rio Show is sponsored in part by Carrie Limousine, Community First Credit Union, Ticket Exchange, Wachovia, Sonny's Barbecue, and by Everbank. Now, to get things started, here's the voice of the Jaguars,
the voice,
Brian Sexton.
Hello and good evening and welcome inside Jaguars Central at Everbank Field in Jacksonville, Florida for the Jack Del Rio Show. Tuesday before Thanksgiving. Hope you all are making big plans for family, food, and football. My favorite week of the year. And it makes this week is even better with a first-place team. Latest that this team has been in first place since that 99 bunch back in the old AFC Central. So things are fun around Jacksonville this week, and a big trip to New York in store for the head coach, and we welcome him in right now. Good evening, Coach. How are you?
Hey, Brian. Good evening.
Congratulations on another win, three in a row.
Thank you.
Another exciting finish, and I know you've talked a lot about it, but to finish the game off where it was just, I called it herky-jerky during the game. It felt like the offense was just kind of stop, start, stop, start, stop, start. Obviously, six turnovers does that. But to finish it with the 87-yard drive and the go-ahead touchdown, you know, with just the seconds left to play, well, I mean, that really made it fun for all the folks who were here.
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, had to be able to watch the football team respond to the adversity with the resiliency and the determination, that had to be gratifying to watch as a fan. I know as a coach, I was very proud of our guys because we in some very tough situations, you know, stayed the course, kept fighting, found a way to get them slowed down defensively. Offensively, you know, didn't get to where it was like unraveling and frustrated and right. You know, guys bickering, all those types of things. Just went back and went back out with resolve and then finished at the end. I mean, made some plays and finished and took the game.
And hats off to your defense, which the last three games has held opposing rushers and opponents to 73 yards on average per game. First of all, stopping Peyton Hillis a week after stopping Arian Foster. But more importantly than that, what you did after the turnovers. You only gave up a field goal. And I think, what are we talking about, 9, 10 yards in the negative category? You shut them down. And I know that's a group you've been talking a lot about lately.
Well, it was we had to have it. It was a day when the defense was called on to step up and play big. And I always talk about playing a complementary brand of football. All three phases you want that to complement each other. And if one unit or the other is struggling, then somebody else has to pick it up, and you have to find a way as a team. And that's what we were able to do. And that's why I'm very proud of the guys.
Not comparing the eventual outcome, but did you have any days like that back in 2000 when you guys, when Baltimore and you were going through those games? Five games where you didn't, score a touchdown.
Most of the days were like that.
Okay.
Because we weren't we were just not very good on offense.
Right.
But, that's about as far as the comparisons would go.
Right.
I mean, different, totally different makeup. I think the difference, the one common factor is that we're putting some wins together and we have a chance to put some more together. And that's
stack
what we're going to have to do.
The word I think I heard you use: stack some wins.
Stack some wins together. That's right.
That's stacking firewood up there in the north, which is where we're headed this week to take on the New York Giants. By the way, you can test drive the new 2011 Ford Super Duty, the new 2011 Ford Mustang, or the all-new Ford Fiesta, only at your local Southern Ford dealer. Off football for a moment, a lot of your players are out in the community today. Operation Blessing, delivering turkeys and holiday wishes and acts of community involvement. And I know that this is a big week for that, but it's something that you emphasize greatly in your team meetings all season long.
Every Wednesday, we'll start with a list of who's been out in the community and taking time on their day off, and it's just part of the unselfish nature that we want to have as an organization, as a group of men. And I think it's important because it's really not about you. It's not about me. It's not about any one person. It's about team. It's about us.
Right.
And there's not a guy on our squad that doesn't have countless people to thank for being here, being where you are, and so. There's a lot of blessings, and I think it's our obligation to, I don't know if obligation is the right word, but I think it's our responsibility to give back and be a part of the community.
I think Maurice has a dinner with 50 kids tonight.
That's great.
50 underprivileged
great
kids.
Stuff.
So, and then, he comes out of his own pocket for that. So it goes to show the importance of a team and a community together.
No question.
Off the field, in the stadium, all of those things. You can join us this evening, 800-355-NFL1, or simply 355-NFL1 if you'd like to weigh in with a thought about the Jaguars' three-game winning streak, about going to New York to take on the Giants, playing in the league's biggest stage, or just the six-game stretch, Coach. And as you look over the final 6 weeks, and you said it earlier when we were taping your television show, you've been here. You've been at this point. Two of the five times that you've been at this point, you've pushed forward and gone into the playoffs.
That's right.
Three, you haven't. Mm-hmm. As you look, is there a common denominator in those three that you didn't progress to the playoffs?
Yes. Yeah, we weren't good enough.
Okay.
I mean, you get this opportunity, it's proving time. You know, you either get it done, you execute, and you're good enough, or you don't. And I don't know that there's ever been a year where we have just been so talent ridden that people better look out. I don't know that it's ever felt like that here.
Right.
We feel like we're an achieving group. We feel like we're a selfless team that knows how to commit and go out and fight and execute. And when we do those things, we think we can play with anybody.
How about the fact that you're doubling up your opponents in terms of running the football, averaging 153 over the last three and giving up only 73, which shows you, you know, your ability to control the line of scrimmage?
Well, that usually will help as the weather gets a little cooler and the wind will pick up and you'll get some inclement weather. Then that is usually a good thing to be able to do.
Now, we've got some callers on the line, but we need to take our first break of the evening. Hey, folks, when the Jaguars win, as they have in recent weeks, everyone wins at Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue. You'll get a free barbecue pork sandwich with your game day ticket stub on a Monday or Tuesday after the Jaguars win, which means you should now make your way to all participating North Florida Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue restaurants. More with the head coach of the Jaguars in advance of Thanksgiving and the Jaguars' trip to New York after this on the Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
When you're looking for department store style and discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. 6 Jacksonville location, Stein Mart. More fashion, less price. Jaguars in New York at the brand new Meadowlands Stadium. New Meadowlands as opposed to the old Meadowlands, which is now a parking lot. Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue tailgate show begins at 10 a.m. for those of you in Jacksonville. At noon, we pick up the rest of you on our network for Jaguars pregame, kickoff at 1, followed by the Aetna Big Halftime Show, then the Winn-Dixie postgame show, and the Southern Ford Dealers scoreboard show. And let's grab a quick call. We've got Alan on the south side. Alan, you're up with the head coach. Good evening and happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. I was just going to say, you know, one, you've really started to bring back some pride to the city, and I'm really feeling good about the team. But the other thing is that we've noticed that Rasheem Mathis just doesn't seem like he's coming up to the plate like he used to. Doesn't seem like he can cover his man very well anymore.
Did you have a question, Alan?
Well, I just want to ask, like, do you have any comment on, I mean, what's going on with Rasheem?
Okay, well, I appreciate the call, and okay, where did he start with that?
He started with Jags in the community,
yep,
and
yep,
appreciative of what you've done with the team on the field and off the field.
Okay. Well, thank you, Alan. Appreciate that, and thanks for taking the time out to call tonight. The guys have been very committed, not only on the field and what we're doing, you know, here at Everbank Field, but also out in the community. So I'm glad to hear that. And then, you know, Rasheen, look, he didn't have a great game 2 weeks ago. I think he acknowledges that.
How did he do last week?
He did better, and we did better, and so, you know, he's played at such a high level that people, you know, want to see the guy that was one of the better corners in the league that went to the Pro Bowl. It was a shutdown corner, and you know, what I would say is that guy's still here. He's still got the ability. We need him to play his best down the stretch here. We're going to need him to you know, we need our best players to play at their best,
right,
as we go down the stretch. So he understands that, and he's working at it, and he's gonna give it everything he has, and you know I remain hopeful that we can get that done. So I think it'd be better for him to feel a little support than the opposite. I think it's easy to sit back and say, you know, why don't you cover that guy? It's a tough position. I think it gets a lot better when you get the rush that we had last week. I mean, I think everybody will look better covering back there when our defensive line is knocking the quarterback down as much as we did last week.
Appreciate the phone call, 355-NFL1. Let's grab John, who's down southwest of us, a bit in Green Cove Springs. Hello, John. Welcome to the program. Happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving, guys. You know, I hope all the players and everybody have a happy Thanksgiving, too. My question is, and there's something that Vic asked last night about Zach Miller as far as playing wide receiver, and my thought is from all the reports we got when we drafted him, was he was as fast, he had better hands and everything else than the guy that was our top receiver at wide receiver 2 years ago, Matt Jones. And I'm wondering, since, you know, we have a guy like that and we seem to be able to plug people in, why can't we plug him in as wide receiver?
Yeah, that's a great point, John, and a great question. And why can't we? Well, we can, you know. And I think that for us, excuse me, the biggest thing that we want to do as a coaching staff is maximize our guys' ability to help us make plays. And he's a guy that's actually emerging right now. He had a shot at the beginning of the game, the first play of the game, where we took a shot deep, and he just didn't think David was coming to him. I mean, he had his guy beat. And he pulled up just a hair, and the ball was overthrown by about 6 inches. And so he is a guy that can run. He does have good hands. So we're going to continue to look to get him involved. And will he play receiver? No, he's a mismatched kind of tight end that will end up in the slot some like a receiver. But he's not limited to just being a receiver out wide. He can do things as a tight end, lining up in the box and helping us in the run game as well. So. But no, he's somebody that John, we're absolutely going to need. You know, Zach Miller to step up here to help us fill the gap a little bit while Mike Sims is down, and we'll get a better look at Mike and see how he goes through this week if he'll be able to join us. You know, he tried last Friday, and it wasn't even close. And he's like, "What do you think?" I said, "Well, you look terrible. What do you mean? What I think?" And he says, "Well, my birthday's Sunday." I said, "Well, that's great, but." That doesn't mean you're going to feel better Sunday. I mean, you know, it's probably not going to work. And so he knew that. And but he wanted to play so badly. And we'll just take another look this week. And if he's better and he's able to go, then we'll go with him. If he's not, we'll need everybody else to fill the gap. And part of that will be Zach Miller.
You know, at this point of the year, help's not on the way. Guys go down. It's not like you can go out to the waiver wire and find a lot of guys. Though you picked up a kid, an interesting kid, Jason Hill, from San Francisco last week, a former second-round pick, who's had a couple of games in the National Football League. Any chance that a guy in week two could come around and step up enough to be able to help you?
He was actually a third-round pick.
Pardon me.
No, because the reason I want to say that is because he was in a clump of players that we liked coming out of the draft that was sitting right there where Mike Sims-Walker was taken. And they actually went off right in, boom, 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 like went off like four guys right in front of us where Mike was sitting. And we liked all these guys. It didn't work out in San Francisco. We were able to get him on waivers, and he comes in here with a fresh start, a clean slate. He's been working extra with Todd Monken, you know, getting up to speed with the offense, and we'll take a good look at him this week and see if he's learned enough to execute at a level that'll give us a chance to get him out there. So he is a guy that he's legitimately fast. He's got good size, appears to have solid hands, and appears to be picking up the offense. So. We will take a good look at him this week. You know, really, in all honesty, I mean, it looked like the moment got a little too big for Taekwon last week.
Sure.
I mean, it's just too big of a role. And you know, I know he's a kid with a lot of energy, a lot of want to. He'll have to fight his way back into that kind of opportunity again. But, you know, in the meanwhile, we're going to see what we can do with the squad in terms of filling in the gap with Mike.
Appreciate the phone call. Let's grab Tim at the beach next on the Jack Del Rio Show. Tim, welcome to the show.
Hey, Coach. Curious about the tying touchdown. It was first and goal from the 5 yard line, and Jones Drew was taken out of the game. And I know he'd had a run right before that, and he was probably winded. But then there was a TV timeout, so he had time to get his breath. And I think from the stands, we're thinking, okay, you're going to run the ball to Jones Drew four times, you're going to get a touchdown when it's first and five. We ended up having to pick up a 3rd and 14, and David made a great pass and. Martavis Lewis made a great play on it, but it seemed like we didn't need to be in that position when we got a running back like that on first five. I was curious as to why he was out of the game at that point. I'll take your answer off the air. Thanks.
Okay. Appreciate it, Tim. I can't speak specifically to it. I know, you know, I trust the staff to work their guys. I think Maurice played the lion's share of the snaps. I know that, you know, he can't be in for every snap. That play that we took a shot at the end zone – Yeah, that was just a poor decision by David. I mean, just quite
the first and goal where he got.
Yeah,
sacked.
I mean, you can't take a sack there. Yeah. I mean, you got to airmail that thing, or just hit the guy that's wide open. Right. Well, that would be okay too. But we can't take that sack there,
right.
And so that was a bad decision in the game that led us to 3rd and 14. But then he comes back and makes a great throw to Marshades, and so yeah, I understand you want your best player out there. He was out there for many of the big moments and ended up making the big play to get us down there to help us win. But, I heard that question more than once, so evidently that's something that that people were really surprised by. But we have a lot of faith in Rashad. I mean, you know, on the go-ahead touchdown, you know, Rashad got the first crack at it. Maurice was winded. And, you know, if you're winded, you're not at your best. We've got a guy that's pretty good. It's raring to go. Until you catch your breath, the other guy's going to get an opportunity. So, a little bit of that was taking place.
Tim, appreciate the phone call. We need to take a break. Season ticket holders, use your Jaguars rewards card when you purchase at least 10 gallons of Gate gasoline. You'll get $2 in Jag Bucks back. For details, check out Jaguars.com. We'll check out this commercial timeout and return with more with head coach Jack Del Rio after this on Jaguars Radio.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1. Or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
We'll vote for your favorite MVP teacher to be the Community First Credit Union MVP Teacher of the Week. Your teacher can win club seats to a Jaguars home game. All part of First Down Touchdown for Teachers. Visit communityfirstfl.org for the details. Back with the head coach of the Jaguars on the Jack Del Rio Show. Lines are stacked. So let's go to Mandarin. Bring on the first lady of the evening. Linda. Yeah, Joe thinks that I just made you the first lady. But you're the first female caller of the evening, Joe, if that's better grammatical. Okay. Happy Thanksgiving. You're on with the head coach.
Happy Thanksgiving to you all. It was a very exciting game. You're going to give us all heart attacks out there. But I was wondering why Greg Jones doesn't get the ball more to kind of give a little deception out there, give Maurice a little break. I think he only got a couple of carries.
Yeah, no, I think Greg's really settled into a blocking role.
Dominant blocking role.
He is a dominant player. In each week, he's been destroying people in front of Maurice and Rashad and Deji and protecting for David. And then, you know, he does catch some balls out of the backfield. He does carry it occasionally. But, you know, it's just not – he's not going to have a major role as a ball carrier at this point in his career. I mean, I think those days are probably behind him in terms of a major role carrying the ball. But we love Greg, and he's a very valuable player for us.
We look at some of the fullbacks in the league that really power running games. I mean, Greg's obviously one of them. The guy in Miami whose name escapes me all of a sudden.
That's not Polite, is it?
Yes, Lusaka Polite. Uh-huh. And then you've got the kid we saw last week, Lawrence Vickers, who is a slamming fullback too. I mean, top running
games. How many carries did Vickers get last week?
None. And Polite maybe occasionally
How about the kid Vonta Leach for Houston?
He never carries the ball. Okay. Occasionally they'll throw it to him, which is what you do with.
Yeah. So it's not unusual, Linda. I appreciate the call, and it's great insight. And Greg at one time was a guy that we did use as a power halfback late in the ball game.
I remember Pittsburgh 2005.
Yeah, and he had a great game there. And you know, he got injured. And really the shelf life, if we have him toting the ball, it'll just reduce his shelf life as a dominant fullback, which he is for us right now.
355-NFL1. Let's go to the north side. Sean is standing by. Sean, good evening. Happy Thanksgiving. You're up with head coach Jack Del Rio.
Hey, thanks, guys. Hey, thanks, Coach. How you doing? Brian, happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Just want to make a quick comment, two of them actually. Number one, defense, man, six turnovers. Defense really seemed like they stepped up and took a hold of the bull by the horns and really gave us a good show. Everybody's all on the defense. Oh, they're not doing good. You need to replace this guy, replace this guy. But defense is really looking good. Six turnovers, come on. I mean, how many points? 3 points out of six turnovers?
Yes.
And Brian, 2 weeks ago when we made that Hail Mary pass, and I was driving down the road and listening to you, and the way you get excited, you make it exciting to listen to it on the radio. I about wrecked my car.
Sorry.
Listening. Boy, that was something else. And just wanted to make those quick comments, and happy Thanksgiving, happy holidays, and Coach, thanks a lot, man.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Sean. Appreciate the call. And I tell you what, you know, he hit on one thing about the defense now. I really believe that Jacksonville appreciates good, hard-hitting defense.
And they do.
And that's what we did. I mean, we our guys flew around and played with passion, and you know, we did things, we fit things better, and we tackled better and those things, but we really went after it. I mean, you could just see the intent, and that's what I'm looking for. I mean, that's really what I'm looking for. Our guys brought it on Sunday, and I'd like us to build on that and go forward and kind of let that be the stepping stone to ignite us back to what, you know, what I really have always been about defensively, and that's a defense that goes after people. You know, it's aggressive, attacking, tackling, a swarming unit. And that's what we were on Sunday, and it wasn't perfect. It, believe me, there was a lot of coaching going on in Monday's session to clean some things up, but there was so much energy and effort that you overcome some of the mistakes.
How many times were your guys at Peyton Hillis's waist in the backfield? I want to say 5 or 6 times one guy got him, at least hit him, and knocked him a half a step back, which allowed his teammates to come in and hit. I don't know whether they all turned out to be tackles for losses or not, Coach, but you guys were in his face fast.
I think we're 6 times behind the line, but no, it was a good day's work, and it's something, like I said, we can build on and we want to build on and go forward from here and establish that type of unit again that this football team can count on.
All right, busy phones this evening. One more before we take our next break. We'll go to St. Augustine. J.D. is standing by. J.D., you're on with the head coach. Good evening. Happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, same to you guys. Coach, wanted to ask you a question. Could you tell me within a few degrees just how cold that water was? From where I'm sitting in St. Augustine, it looked pretty cold.
Whew. Yeah, it was cold. And I told our guys, don't do it anymore. I was gonna run them.
You got a little cold this week. You think maybe it's their fault?
Yeah, it might be. Yeah. You know what?
Maybe they should. In
all honesty, I appreciate the call, JD. Thank you. It somehow, I guess, in the late '90s or late '80s, Bill Parcells, I think.
It was
Harry Carson or Pepper Johnson or somebody got him, and that's where it kind of started, this dumping Gatorade on the coach. And I told our guys, I said, honestly, I mean, come up and just kick me. Do something, but don't dump that stuff on my head anymore. And they were like stunned. I'm like, no, I'm serious. I mean, I really don't want you dumping that on me. So, you know, if we ever, you know, win a championship and you want to honor me, and put me on your shoulders and carry me out of the field. Right. Don't do that.
Right.
That doesn't honor me.
Well, you got a jug full of ice. I'm going to guess the temperature was 30 degrees.
I don't know. I would say probably 34, 35. It's
just
above freezing because, you know, it was ice water.
Yeah, nice to see you, Coach. Just go in the locker room now.
Yeah. So anyway, our guys now understand what I'm looking for.
I have no doubt about that. We'll take a break. More to come on the Jack Del Rio Show after this quick timeout. You're listening to the Jaguars Radio Network.
Ho, ho, hike! The holidays are coming, Jaguars fans, and if you're looking for a great gift idea, give the gift of the Jaguars with a holiday pack, including a game ticket for the Jaguars versus the Raiders on December 12th, or the Jaguars against the Redskins on December 26th, an official Jaguars hat and t-shirt, a game day meal voucher for a hot dog, soda, and popcorn, and a Jaguars holiday card for that special Jaguar in your life. All that from just $60. Call 633-2000 or visit Jaguars.com for the perfect holiday gift.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Jaguars fans, check out the Fan Zone section of Jaguars.com. See how you can win Jaguars tickets and some great Jaguars merchandise. Just look for the list of participating Parts House Car Care Centers. The Parts House is an official sponsor of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Phone lines are stacked. Here we go. Let's go to Heather, who's been waiting across the river in East Arlington. Hello, Heather. Good evening. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. How are y'all?
Good.
Hey, Heather.
I just want to make a comment. You know, watching over the years, and I have to say that I think this is one of the best years that I've seen us play football, and the way we've seen, what I've seen these past couple games, just we've improved so much, and it's just so great to see, Jack, you know, the improvement that we've made, and just keep it up. You know, you've got the city behind you, so it's great to see this. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it very much. Did you have a question, or you just wanted to say keep it up?
Joe actually just turned her down.
Oh, okay.
Tonight, we're there on Sunday, and it was just, my voice is still so partly gone. So just thank you so much for doing all you've done for our city. We really appreciate it.
All right. Well, you're welcome, and I appreciate your call. It's very, very nice of you. And it is a good feeling to watch a group of men work so hard, commit so hard to a goal. And we're not there yet, but we have a goal. And you know, we're gonna commit. We're gonna dedicate ourselves. We're gonna work tirelessly. We're gonna give it everything we have, and we're gonna expect to achieve that goal. And we'll see. We're right now. We've kept ourselves alive and afloat, and now it's time to prove it and earn our way. And that's what our team's after right now. So thank you very much.
Appreciate the phone call, Heather. Let's go back to the phone lines. And joining us from I-95 is Wes. Wes, happy Thanksgiving. You're on with the head coach.
Hey, Brian, Coach. How you guys doing?
Great.
Good. Hey, Wes.
Hey, Coach, I said the Tennessee game and the Cleveland game, and the Cleveland game made up for the Tennessee game, so I appreciate that.
You got
it. A couple questions. I didn't get on the phone call until like about 15 minutes ago, so you may have already talked about this, but Daquan Underwood, I know he kind of had a little bit of a disappointing game, and I was kind of wanting to know what was going to go on with him, and I was listening to Gene Smith last night, and he said that the guy we got from San Francisco had three really good practices. It sounded like he was high on him, and we'll see if you think you're going to be able to make him active anytime soon. And then just a comment. I think that the more touches, and you probably know this, I know you know this, but the more touches I think we can get Zach Miller, the better off we are. Thanks, Coach, and great job. And keep up the good work.
Thank you, Wes. And you're right, we did touch on all of that. But just to kind of summarize, you're right. Zach is a talented guy that we'd like to get involved. We'll continue to look for ways. We just narrowly missed him on the opening play of the game. So we are looking to get him involved. We had a big touchdown 2 weeks ago, you know, 50-yard-plus touchdown strike to him. So he's a weapon, and he's a guy that we definitely have our eye on. And the kid out of San Francisco is Hill, and he's size-speed guy that we like coming out a few years back, and things didn't work out for him there, and he's here now, and we're going to give him an opportunity to show us if he can learn our system well enough to help us out in the upcoming weeks. So stay tuned. But thank you.
Wes, thanks for the call. We need a break. We'll take it now. You're listening to the Jack Del Rio Show. We continue to the top of the hour after this quick timeout on Jaguars Radio.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1. Or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Brian Sexton with the Jaguars head coach. Wish each and every one of you a happy Thanksgiving. Grab a couple of phone calls here. Howard joins us from Middleburg. And Howard, happy Thanksgiving. Welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving to you too. I just wanted to ask the coach. I know we're playing a terribly strong offense next week, but when our defense takes care of them, do you think we're going to get the national recognition that we deserve?
Oh, Howard, that's not something I'm really concerned with, to be honest with you. What I am concerned with is getting the Giants slowed down and finding a way to beat them. It's a good football team. It's well-balanced on offense. You know, Tom has always been very good running and throwing and likes balance. He's got a Super Bowl-winning quarterback. It's a couple big backs that they use, you know, one really big and one pretty good size that has great speed.
Right.
They've got talent. They're a little banged up at wide receiver, but they've got tight a lot like we are. I mean, they're banged up at wide receiver, but they've got a big offensive line. It's a good group. They've got good backs, tight ends, and like I said, a great quarterback. And so no, it'll be a challenge for us. And as far as the credit and whether or not people understand, I'm not really concerned about that at all. In fact, I told our team last week, the reality is that we did enough early in this year of allowing people to get chunks of yardage where we're not going to rank high this year. You're just not going to.
Can't make up that much difference.
I mean, you're just not going to all of a sudden become considered, you know, the top two or three defensive unit in the league. You're not going to be that. However, we can play like that. We can play like a great defense late in the year here and help our football team. And that's what's most important.
Right.
So the rankings are nice when you're being ranked high. But what's most important is helping the football team win. And we have a chance defensively to come together and play our best football down the stretch. And when you're going up against teams like the New York Giants, you better, because they're awfully good and you're going to need to.
Your linebackers are playing pretty well right now. I mean, when we talk about your run defense in particular, those guys just seem to be there.
Yeah, they've played well the last few weeks. I mean, we're fitting more confidently, more aggressively downhill, shedding blocks and striking people. And And so, yeah, it's been better, and that group's been better.
Brandon Jacobs is a big man. I mean, 6'4", 260 pounds. I mean, if it's possible, he's bigger than Peyton Hillis.
He is bigger. No, he's bigger than Peyton, probably a little faster. And
how come they've only run him 10 times the last 2 weeks? That is it Ahmad Bradshaw's role, and then Brandon comes in and
that's specific? A question for Tom.
Well, just what you've seen on tape.
Well, I mean, they don't give reason on the tape. I'm just watching the tape.
Well, I'm just curious if you have an interpretation.
No,
if there's a defined role for Brandon Jacobs.
No, like I said, you'll have to ask Tom. You know,
I'm not going to get asked. I was asking you.
They're both good players. They've got good talent. I mean, they're a talented group, and obviously I have a lot of respect for Tom.
Sure. And Kevin Bosch, their tight end, is a guy who doesn't get a lot of accolades, but it seems whenever you turn around, he's making a catch up the seam. He's setting something up.
Yeah, he's been very productive. Very productive. He burst upon the scene a couple years back, and he's really been a productive player for him.
355-NFL-1. 355-635-1. We're on time tonight. Let's go ahead and take a break. We'll come back more with Jack Del Rio, our Thanksgiving edition of the Jack Del Rio Show, here on the Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL-1. Or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Brian Sexton and the Jaguars head coach. Jaguars Giants, the new Meadowlands, Sunday. 10 o'clock for those of you in Jacksonville. Sunny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show. Noon for Jaguars pregame for everyone on the network. Kickoff at 1. Halftime show presented by Aetna. Followed by the Winn-Dixie postgame show in the bank. No, Southern Ford Dealers scoreboard. Old sponsors. Yeah, I can't get rid of that. Ron had a question. Couldn't hang on the line. He wanted to know, with 2 minutes left in the ball, first and goal inside the one, if you thought at all about taking a knee to burn the clock so that you wouldn't give the Browns as much time as they ended up getting to move the ball down the field.
Yes, we thought about it. Yes, we talked about it as a staff on the headphones. And I said, absolutely not. This is not a time to get cute and try and expire the clock. Punch it in immediately. I mean, you know, think about Dallas with our goal line stand.
Right, right. Yeah, you're down 20-17.
No.
You want to win.
No, it's different. Now, if we're tied right there, then, you know, you're probably going to see a little different approach.
Yeah, you burn the clock and kick a field goal.
Although, with Sean Rogers in there, who's blocked more PATs and field goals than anybody in the history of the league, you've got to be concerned. Do you see how close he came all day? Guy's a monster.
Didn't he get one in 2008 here?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so.
He's a monster.
Yeah.
I mean, he's unbelievable. So, you know, even then, I don't know that you can do that because, you know, he could block it. So, but then you're not going to lose. I mean, right. You're playing to win the game on the last play, and you don't give him a chance to come back. And I did that a couple years ago against the Jets.
Last year.
It was last
More
year, yeah.
The knee, yeah. Yeah.
So, feels like a long time ago.
It feels like forever
but,
ago.
In that situation, punch it in. And if you happen to get stopped and then you take clock, yeah, you would let the clock wind down before you snap the ball. Yes, you would do that, but not a time to get cute.
Ron, appreciate the thought. Even though you couldn't hang on the line, we thought we'd ask it for you. Chris joins us from Mandarin, and you're up next. Chris, first of all, happy Thanksgiving. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving to you, too.
You're on with the coach.
Hey, Chris, what's on your mind tonight?
Just a quick question. With us being so dead at the safety positions, although Courtney Green has been looking really good, Darryl Smith, our highest-rated linebacker, definitely a top-10 linebacker in the league, even though he's such a great playmaker, we've seen great things out of Russell Allen. Why not consider a possible trade with Darryl Smith, no disrespect, Darryl, if you're listening, that to where we can get a much-needed proven safety in the league?
No, Chris, this is a little past the trading deadline.
It's a lot past the trading deadline.
First off.
Yeah.
Second, you know, Darryl's our starter. Mm-hmm. And we committed to Courtney Green and Don Carey about...
Going into the Dallas game.
Yeah,
about, no, I'm sorry. Before that.
About 4 weeks ago.
Yeah. Kansas City, I think.
And look, they've made steady improvement, and so has our defense. And, you know, similarly, you know, We're rolling with Austin Lane and Jeremy Mincy, and we're going to let those guys, you know, grow. And they're going to make some mistakes, but they're going to learn from it. They're going to make them full speed. They're going to make them full of energy. And that relentlessness is what we want to see on our defense, and we're starting to see signs of that. So I appreciate your opinion.
Talk about the guy who, with his next tackle, will be the franchise's all-time leading tackler.
Darryl?
Yep. Oh, he's got 858 tied with Donovan Darius.
Yeah, Darryl's a super player. And
heck of a guy, too.
He's not going anywhere. I mean, he's going to stay right here and play for us, and we love him. And
he's got sacks, interceptions, forced fumbles, fumbles recovered.
He can do it all. He can rush. He can cover. He can stuff blocks. He can shed. He can make plays. Good player for us.
Really complete. So appreciate you thinking outside the box. It's probably a little too much outside the box for the head coach and for his defensive coordinator. All right. You know what? Let's take our break now. We'll come back. A couple thoughts on the New York Giants, and we'll wrap up the Jack Del Rio Show. And you're listening on Jaguars Radio. All right. Less than 5 minutes left to go in the Jack Del Rio Show. A couple of thoughts on the New York Giants. We've talked a bit about Eli Manning, Brandon Jacobs, Amon Bradshaw, Kevin Boss, Mario Manningham. Their offense. How about their defense? You've got OCU Manure at the right defensive end with 8 sacks. Defensive player of the month in October, 3 multi-sack games. And, in fact, in 2 of those multi-sack games, he had multi-forced fumbles. On the other side, you got Justin Tuck coming off. You've seen the tape. As good a defensive end performance as you've seen in the league this year. 3 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, 2 more tackles for losses, a couple more quarterback hurries. And you got these guys. It's like playing Freeney Mathis, isn't it? Except they're a bit bigger.
Yeah, no, it's similar. I think the difference is they're deeper, they have depth, and they have tackles inside that are really disruptive. I mean, Canty and Cofield, and I mean, the list goes on. This is a very, very talented front, probably, I would say, the most talented front in the National Football League.
Now, that fits the number one defense. Well, I'm sorry, they're number two now, behind San Diego. So, but very, very, very aggressive, right?
Very, very gifted in their front, and that's the strength of their football team, and they have other areas that are very strong, but that is the strength of their football team.
So suffice to say, you know, with what Maurice did last week and them knowing, you know, that this team goes a long way with him, they're going to make David throw it, right?
Well, they would like to make David throw it, and we want to make them tackle Maurice. So, you know, I mean, I'm not going to get into planning, but the bottom line is we've got to have some balance. We've got to be able to run the ball, and they don't make it easy to run it.
You know, speaking of Maurice, 220 yards from scrimmage last week. By far, best yards from scrimmage game he's ever had. People might remember the 300-plus yard game he had against the Colts in his rookie season. That included kickoff return for a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
So 220. He's played almost 5 full seasons, and in that 5 full seasons, he has 17 games with at least 135 yards from scrimmage, 8 of more than 150 yards from scrimmage. But that stands out as his best overall performance, and he came through in the clutch with that 75-yard run. He's starting to get some attention. I mean, he's got a lot of attention with the fantasy football people, but Peter King today in his Tuesday morning quarterback wrote a nice story about him, and he just continues to power along.
Well, the thing that you notice about, you know, when you watch Mojo, you can see the determination that he plays with. I mean, you can just see it. It comes right through the screen. It pops right out. And if you're there live, you feel it. I mean, he is a great football player with a huge heart. And, you know, his legs are churning. I mean, he's pushing the pile. I mean, he's slamming it up in there and getting a hard 4 and a hard 5. I mean, all day against a very stout. I mean, you're slamming it in there against some big guys. You know, Roth is a big, strong guy, and Sean Rogers is a big, strong guy. I mean, they have some big, strong guys in their front. And he slammed it in there fearlessly. And I think people recognize that.
You know, if you go back to last season when you gave him the ball, 26 regular season games ago, as your feature back, only Chris Johnson and Adrian Peterson have more yards, and Peterson only has 94 more yards than Maurice does, and only those two have more touchdowns. Peterson has 3 more, and I think Johnson has 6 more touchdowns, 7 more touchdowns than Maurice does. So you gave him the ball, and he has been productive. And what's interesting is now as you go into your crunch time, 6 games left to play, it appears he is ready to carry the offense as much as he has to, as much as you ask him to.
Well, yeah, he's ready to take on a big role for us, and I do feel better equipped than we have been since Freddie T was here with having 2 backs that are capable. I think Rashad Jennings is very capable. I think Daisy can help us out. So there's a little depth behind him as well, which is
important.
Very, very necessary.
Need it Sunday. Best of luck against the Giants, and happy Thanksgiving to the Del Rio family.
Same to you. Thank you.
All right. Have a great night, everybody. Enjoy a safe and happy Thanksgiving with family.
This has been the Jack Del Rio Show. Join us again next Tuesday night at 6 for your chance to talk to the head coach. The Jack Del Rio Show is a presentation of the Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network.